underwriting support for the Book Show podcast on WAMC.org comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester Center, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York. An independent bookstore offering books, author events, gifts for children and adults, and more. Northshire.com. And from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in Public Health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu.
Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Alice Hoffman has written more than 30 works of fiction, including The Marriage of Opposites, The Museum of Extraordinary Things, The Dovekeepers, and Practical Magic. Her latest novel is Faithful. It tells the story of a young woman struggling to redefine herself in the power of love, family, and fate. Growing up on Long Island, Shelby Richmond is an ordinary girl until one night an extraordinary tragedy changes her fate. Her best friend's future is destroyed in an accident while Shelby walks away with the burden of guilt. Again, the name of the new novel is Faithful, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Alice Hoffman to this week's book show. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me here.
A delight to have you on the program. I love this novel, and I'm curious as to how you got to it in the sense of what you were thinking about that brought you to really a story of, yes, I mentioned in the introduction of a woman redefining herself, but ultimately going from a very bad place to working out to a point of being okay.
You know, I think I'm always interested in survivors. I think most writers have a theme, and sometimes they don't realize it for a while. I certainly didn't realize it, but I'm a breast cancer survivor. But even before that, I'm interested in the ways that people manage to survive trauma, and that's what happens to my character, Shelby.
The trauma is an automobile accident. She is with a very good friend, and she is driving and she is at the wheel and her friend is left in a coma. You look at these two young women and one is left to go on and the other one is in a coma and you don't really know at some points really who has the better of the deal.
Yeah. I think it's so hard for this character, Shelby, to live with the guilt that she survives and her friend really doesn't. And I think so often people, and especially women, turn guilt and anger and frustration and that's what she does. You know, women so often, they don't commit homicide usually. They usually kind of self-harm. And Shelby kind of systematically wrecks her life.
We join the character after a lot of this has taken place. She has been in a psych ward. She is out and starting to reemerge, if you will. Yeah. I'm curious as to why you wanted to not write about the day-to-day of that.
You know, it's funny you say that because ultimately I think this is a very uplifting, almost fun book,
even though
it's about tragedy. And I wanted to chart her journey after the trauma and how she finds her way back to being a whole person and a funny person and a person that's worthwhile. And it takes her a long time, almost 10 years, to realize it.
And you knew that that was the journey in the sense of that it would be a 10-year journey for her to find a place where she finally feels that she fits.
Well, the funny thing for me is that I wrote the book over a period of 10 years. I wrote it in between writing other books. And so it really was a 10-year journey for me, too. I didn't know what was going to happen to her. I just knew she had this accident, and I didn't know how she was going to come back to life. And, you know, sometimes characters just take over. They walk in and they start to do things, and that's what happened with Shelby.
Talk a little bit about the accident itself and her, the situation that it immediately puts her in and how it sets up the story.
It is an accident. You know, I guess that's why they call it an accident, but she feels that it's her fault. And she retreats from the world. She's hospitalized. The only person that she really connects, well, there are two people that she connects with. One is her mother. And I realized after writing the book that in some ways, it's a love story between a mother and a daughter, and a mother who will stand by you no matter what, no matter how horrible you are, what a terrible daughter you are. Her mother stands by her. And the other person who's there for her is a friend from high school. Well, not really a friend, an enemy from high school, sort of. Who she connects with because they're just both such loners.
And he's her drug dealer.
Yes, that's true. But he's a nice drug dealer.
He's a lovely drug dealer. Let me talk about the relationship with her mother, because, as you say, even as horrible as a daughter she is, but it's one of those things where you look at her actions, and while those actions may be difficult, they're certainly explainable.
Yeah. Well, I think most daughters were at one point in their life horrible daughters. I don't know how it is for sons, but for daughters, I know personally I was horrible, and my mother stood by me no matter what.
That relationship becomes closer as time goes on, and as she becomes farther removed from the tragedy.
Yeah, and I think also as you grow up, the things that you most hated your parents for, you can, you know, respect them and admire them for as you grow older, when you understand really what they went through.
I want to talk about several elements in the book and some common traits. One is dogs.
Yeah.
Dogs and rescue dogs play a huge role in this novel. And two things. One, you have brought together this wonderful company of ragtag animals, number one. But number two, my goodness, they have great names.
Well, thank you. You know, I always have believed that dogs can save you. And I think that Shelby rescues these dogs. She sees dogs being mistreated on the street, and she just snaps and steals them. And so many times I've had the feeling that I wanted to do that and didn't do it. But I think so many people, when there's trauma, so often they bring in a team of dogs, because I think when you can't relate to people, often you can still relate to a dog.
Shelby is a dog person, but you have a scene in the book where she's rescuing a cat. And
I do, even though she's allergic.
Yes, she's allergic, but she is a good animal person, and I hope you can read that section for us.
Sure, I will. Shelby runs to 7th Avenue to Penn Station. You rescue something, and you're responsible for it. But maybe that's what love is. Maybe it's like a hit-and-run accident. It smashes you before you can think. You do it no matter the cost, and you keep on running. It's dusk now, and puddles are filled with neon. It's only 30 minutes by train to Valley Stream. Don't make a noise, Shelby whispers to the cat when the conductor comes around. Soon, you'll be sleeping on a velvet pillow. You'll be looking at the rain from behind a window where there are blue silk curtains, and you'll be glad there was a thief like me.
All of these animals really are glad that there's a thief like her, because they take to her almost instantly, don't they?
Yeah. Well, I think that's true with rescue dogs. I don't have one, but my son has a rescue dog who's so madly in love with him that when my son goes out, the dog puts himself in the closet and closes the door and won't come out until he comes back.
The idea of how they play into the story, because this is a woman who has a difficult time taking care of herself, and yet she's taking care of at some time up to three or four dogs.
Well, I do think it's true that when you rescue something or someone, it can save you, that you realize your own inner power, your own strength, that you felt like even if you can't take care of yourself, here you are suddenly taking care of another creature. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happens to Shelby.
She's often getting in the subway or walking somewhere and hiding the animals and on her coat and so forth.
That's true.
Getting in.
That's true.
One way or another. Let us then talk about the two friendships that she has in the book. One is, we mentioned, about with her high school colleague, but also her drug dealer, and they have a relationship, but she's never quite trusting of it.
Yeah, I have to say he does go from drug dealing to pharmacy school. So he
makes
that
connection.
Good,
right? Yes, he does.
And he's a nice guy, but, you know, he's her friend, but she's not in love with him. He's kind of going through the journey with her, and she feels guilty that she's not in love with him. And so they have a lot of back and forth in their relationship. She breaks up with him. She regrets breaking up with him. He's mad at her. He wants to go back with her. I mean, I think it's very human in relationships to have things change and shift.
And they feel like, I think he feels that he should be with her. And sometimes when he's not there, she feels she should be with him. But when he is there, she doesn't know what to think.
Exactly. I think it's just like real life.
The other relationship, the other friendship, besides her mother, who I want to talk about in a moment, is is a friend that she meets in a job that she takes at a pet store.
Yeah.
Marivel. And tell us a little bit about that character and how this one person, because really this is the first friendship that she has after Helene, the young woman who is left in a coma after the car accident.
Well, Marivel drags Shelby into friendship. Shelby doesn't want to be friends with anyone. She wants to be alone, or she has kind of a wall around her. And Marivel's really her opposite. You know, she was a teenager who had children. She has three children. She has tons of responsibility. She is a survivor. She will survive no matter what. And she drags Shelby into her life, and Shelby gets involved with her family. It becomes kind of a second family to her and is really important, I think, in her recovery and her realizing that she can relate to people and bond with people. You know, she starts out hating children. She doesn't want to babysit for them, take care of them, have anything to do with them. And she winds up kind of falling in love with the kids.
At what point did you realize that you wanted to have a woman who, in the beginning, really changes herself?
Yeah, she really goes to the depths. She shaves her head. She cuts herself. She cuts herself off from other people. She's separate. She feels like who she is shows, that it shows on her skin that she did something terrible. I think it's only through her relationships with these dogs and with her friends that she realizes that she's worthwhile and that people make mistakes. I mean, I think the book is really also about forgiveness, and it takes a long time for her to be able to forgive herself.
And yes, and it's not really forgiving others. It is forgiving herself.
Yeah.
And realizing that, as you said, accidents happen.
Accidents happen and nothing is perfect.
Her mother, we have talked a little bit about, but her mother really comes to her rescue when she is institutionalized and she's being sexually abused.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother finds out and gets her out of there.
Yeah, she snaps and she steals her. She takes her right out of there. And I think, you know, her mother is there for her no matter what. And even though sometimes Shelby's very angry at her, doesn't want to have anything to do with her, doesn't agree with her worldview, there's this connection that's incredibly special that I think exists between mothers and daughters.
Mm-hmm. Were there parts of the story, as you mentioned, you wrote it over an extended period of time. Were there sections that were more difficult to write than others?
Well, you know, the funny thing for me is that I never saw it as tragic. I thought of Shelby as having had tragic circumstances,
mm-hmm.
but that it was always, for me, uplifting and fun to see where she was going to go next and how she was going to survive and how she was going to survive by her wits, in a way. I think the hardest part for me to write, without giving too much away, is that her mother becomes very ill and Shelby mm-hmm. becomes a caretaker. And things shift. They change. And I think that happens sometimes with your parents. You know, the roles reverse as time goes on and they get older and you get older. And that, for me, is always the part that gets to me, even when I read it.
By the time that comes, she realizes that she has been a caretaker for quite a while.
Yeah, she really has been. She just hasn't given herself credit for anything.
At one point, she's single and she is looking for someone new in her life, and she ends up going online and putting in a dating profile, which to me was one of the best profiles ever written. So I'm hoping you could share that with us.
Sure, I'll read the profile that she comes up with. She writes, 25-year-old woman who carries around guilt, sorrow, and strange desires, looking for a man between the ages of 20 and 35 who knows how to laugh. I would rather run through the park with a bulldog than have a diamond ring. I don't care what you look like, and I hope you don't care about that either. I'm so pale, some people assume I'm a vampire. I'm not afraid of a fight. I don't drive or wear lipstick. Turn-ons, Chinese food, New York City, fire escape, lost souls. Turnoffs, people, the past, and men who are liars. But of course, the profile people won't let her put that up, and they change her profile too. Unusual woman looking for interesting man, loves Chinese food, long walks, and New York City.
And she's very clear at the beginning that she doesn't like people.
No, she doesn't. She much prefers dogs. And I can understand that.
It's so I think at times in our lives, we have that feeling where we, yeah, we don't need more than the dog.
Absolutely. I always felt in my family the person I was closest to was the dog.
Yeah. When you look at how this fits into the stories that you tell, how do you see it? Is it in line, or do you look at this as a very different book for you?
That's an interesting question, because my last three books were historical novels,
right,
and kind of big historical novels, mostly about women in the past who couldn't tell their own stories. And so in a way, this is very different than that, but it's not so different from other books I've written, which I think are always about, you know, a person on a journey. It's almost like a fairy tale journey through life to try to get to the other side.
The life on the other side for Shelby is very undefined for her. How much was it for you in writing it? As you said, you weren't quite sure where you were, what was going to happen to this character. But was there a point where you said, okay, this is where I want her to arrive to?
Well, I knew I needed for her to forgive herself and also to not forget the past, but to leave the past behind. I know you carry the past with you, but to be able to leave, I thought was a major thing for Shelby, that she wouldn't get trapped in the past. And at one point, there's a point where she wants to have Helene's name tattooed on her skin. Mm-hmm. And it's this moment where you feel like if she does that, she's going to be trapped in the story for the rest of her life. And that's not what you want for Shelby.
No. Let's talk about Helene for a moment, of how you use her as a character. She is in a coma. She is in her bedroom in her parents' house, and people come and flock to her.
Yeah, right. They think that she can grant miracles, that they look to her to grant miracles. And I think what that's really about is kind of the mystery of life, and that Helene is a mystery, what happened is a mystery, and that people want answers to that mystery. They want her to be able to heal them, to cure them.
What is it about her and her situation that they think a miracle can occur?
I think it's probably because she's between worlds. You know, she's not with the living. She's not with the dead. She seems to be able to go on. She's beautiful. And they feel that she has some sort of powers. But I think it's, you know, that's the hope that people have, is that something mysterious can change what's wrong in their lives.
There was a point in the novel where, when I realized that I really was falling in love with this novel, was when Shelby realizes that she's always been defined by the accident, and that people would always point to her and say, well, she was the girl who was at the wheel and would go by the scene and know that accident took place and that Helene was injured in that accident. And then there's that time, as time goes by and new generations come and people move and people come back, and nobody knows anymore.
That's right. They forget her.
It's forgotten.
It's forgotten.
People have moved on, and she's realized, okay, the only one who's really holding on to this is her.
You're right. People don't know her. They don't recognize her. They don't know what happened. Fewer people come to flock to Helene. And really, it's only Shelby that's still stuck in this story.
You also make the case of how hard it is for those around someone who is having a trauma like that.
Yeah, I think it's so hard. And I think sometimes that goes unrecognized, how hard it is to be with someone who's ill or who's, you know, destroyed by something that's happened, some traumatic event. And I think it's very hard to know how to help a person, because ultimately all you can do is be there for them.
And we don't know what that help is, because it differs.
Right, exactly.
Can be different for every person. And also, obviously, it's harder when the person is fighting against it.
Exactly. And Shelby does fight it. She doesn't want the help. And I think the best thing you can do, I think, when somebody's in this situation, is just to be there for them and just to listen to them and wait for them to be able to talk about it.
The other thing about the novel is that it is, at least I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but by your standards, fairly short.
It is. I feel like you can sit down and read it in one sitting, maybe two sittings. And I feel like that's important because I feel, you know, you want to enter her life and just be there and not be going in and out of her life. And I love that in my reading experience. I like to go enter into a world and stay there. Mm-hmm. And I think with this book, you can do that.
And the quick time travel is nice too, because she makes progressions and then you move on. So we go through a relatively long period of time in relatively few chapters.
Right. I think it's very quick, just the way real life can seem, you know.
It's like just a snap.
Right. In a snap, everything's different.
I think we may have talked about this before, but when you have a character like this, especially somebody who's so strong-willed, and as many of your characters are, how quickly do you move on from them?
It's interesting because usually I move on very quickly, but with Shelby, it was hard for me to move on. I grew attached to her, and she, even though I had difficulties with her and I was angry at her sometimes, I really grew to love her and almost feel like she was a daughter. So for me, it's been hard to leave her behind. Plus, I named my dog after her, so I'm constantly reminded of Shelby.
Had you ever done that before? Named an animal
never.
After a character?
No, never.
Oh, that's interesting. When you think of a character like that, it is uplifting. She is a very funny, wry, amusing woman.
I think she's very funny. She's very sarcastic, very funny. And you're kind of inside her head. You know the way she sees the world, the way she thinks. And I feel, you know, especially her relationship with her mother, for me, it's very uplifting. And they're very funny when they're together, I think.
Mm. And they have many commonalities. Really, when they spend the time together of the things that they like to do.
Yeah, they really do. They're really like friends. Once they get over, you know, like a 10-year period, I think they're very similar in a lot of ways. And Shelby begins to understand that. You know, sometimes you just see your mother as kind of this adult when you're young, an authority figure. You don't really see inside them and what they're feeling. And I think Shelby ultimately does see inside her mother.
The other thing that struck me is that you have this character who has been damaged severely by this traumatic event, but life doesn't stop. Things keep going on. Things go on with your friends. Things go on in your love life. Things go on, and they don't take into account that you still haven't gotten over this thing.
You're right. I mean, at first she just wants to go into bed and pull the covers up and, you know, smoke pot and not have anything to do with anyone. And life just keeps going, and she has kind of no choice but to be involved.
I obviously don't want to give anything away, but I'm curious as to how you think about this, because I'm a big fan of the happy ending. And and it seems that much in fiction, we've gotten away from that it becomes too saccharine, it becomes too, idealistic. But I don't think I'm giving anything away in saying that this has a lovely conclusion. This novel has a lovely conclusion. How do you feel about how you end a story with the reader?
Well, you know, for me, each one is different. For this one, I really felt like Shelby deserved happiness. I didn't know how it was going to come about. I didn't know where she was going to go, who she was going to be with, what she was going to do. But I felt like she had worked really hard to change and to go on this journey. And I felt like she deserved happiness, and the reader deserved to know that she would be happy. We don't have to ultimately know exactly what happens to her, but just know that she's changed and that she's kind of ready to face the world.
And that, yes, because she is moving on, and we see her into this next step, whatever that may be.
And, you know, I don't know if I need happiness at the end of a novel, but I need some kind of feeling that I can let go of the characters and kind of I'm content with where they are when I leave them.
Yeah, contentment is good, too. And she's got a dog with her. All's
yes,
going to be fine.
Yes, absolutely.
Real quick, we've got about a minute left, but the names of the dogs, how did you come to the name? If you could go through the names of these animals.
I didn't pick the names. She really did pick the names. So, you know, they just kind of happened. For one thing, she's a fanatic about Chinese food.
Yes.
And so she names one of her dogs, General Tso, after the chicken dish. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah.
She names the other one Blinky because he has trouble with his eyes. She gets this huge Great Pyrenees who's covered and filthy, and she thinks he looks like a Pablo Picasso painting. So he's Pablo.
Pablo.
And then her mother gets a dog that she falls madly in love with, and she calls the dog Buddy. Mm. So that's the other dog in her life.
Well, the name of the new novel is Faithful. It is published by Simon & Schuster. Alice Hoffman, a delight to have you on the program. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank
you. Great pleasure. Thank you. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org. You can also listen again to this or find past book shows via podcast or at wamc.org. Sarah LaDuke produces our program. Special thanks to Argo Studios in Manhattan. Bookmark us for next week, and thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.